200 years ago today, those colonists had to do it all over again. Declare war for the second time on the King of England, except in 1812, the declarers were no longer colonists. It was the fledgling United States of America flexing its muscles against an empire that was strangling U.S. exports and trying to grab territory in the South and North. The Revolutionary War may have created a nation, but it was the random-sounding War of 1812 that gave America an actual national anthem. That's right, those lyrics written by Francis Scott Key describing one of the battles of the War of 1812. The War of 1812 gave the U.S. a world-class navy, gave Washington, D.C. some permanent battle scars, gave the U.S. economy a banking system, and set the themes of U.S. politics that would remain until the 1860s and the Civil War. And here to talk about the legacy of the War of 1812, we're joined by Kenneth Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History and the forthcoming Don't Know Much About American Presidents. Also with us, Don Hickey, professor of history at Wayne State College in Nebraska, author of six books on the War of 1812, most recently a new edition of The War of 1812, A Forgotten Conflict. Don Hickey and Kenneth Davis, welcome to the program.
Good morning, John.
Morning.
So, Don, why is the War of 1812 so forgotten? I mean, if you go back and even just look at the timeline, it's extraordinary events that took place, including the burning of the White House.
Well, one reason is the causes are so obscure. This was a war for free trade and sailors' rights. And those are issues, those maritime issues, just don't resonate with Americans today. Beyond that, the outcome is in dispute. It was an inconclusive war, not clear who won, and we like wars to be successful.
So in that sense, it's a little more like Vietnam than it is the Revolutionary War or World War II, Don Hickey.
I agree.
So did the War of 1812 create the modern notion of a U.S. Navy, and how did it set American politics on a course that really wouldn't be interrupted until the Civil War?
When this war began, we had a terrible army but a pretty good navy. Both got better during the War of 1812, and those people who served, either in a military or a civilian capacity in the government during the war, really dominated the American military and political establishment up to the Civil War.
And the issue, Kenneth Davis, was all of a sudden politicians had to be battle-tested in the War of 1812 and part of the frontier, basically the people from the western colonies, western states, western territories.
And that was a big part of the reason for the war as well, in addition to some of the issues with England in terms of the sea. The English, the British, were also supporting Native Americans who were trying to form a confederacy at that time. This was an extraordinary moment in Native American history. A man named Tecumseh could have been the leader that brought together a significant number of Native American tribes. The War of 1812 destroyed any chance of that happening forever. And that probably is as important as anything else that happened during the War of 1812, which is a war that falls into that great big black hole between 1776 and 1860. When we go to school, we kind of skip from the success in the Revolution to the beginning of the Civil War, and this long 67 years ago is pretty much forgotten.
Who was created as a political character in the War of 1812? Who's absolutely towering?
Chiefly Andrew Jackson, which is ironic because his greatest victory, of course, the Battle of New Orleans, happens after the war is officially over. This was one of the things about the war itself. Because communications were so slow at that time, there was a reasonable chance that this war could have been avoided. It probably was one of the least necessary wars in our history, but communications between London and Washington were slow. Same thing with the peace, which comes in December of 1814. Jackson doesn't get that news. The Battle of New Orleans is fought in January of 1815. He's an extraordinary success, propels him right to the White House.
And he's able to portray himself from that point on as a powerful sort of holder of American military power, as someone who acts unilaterally, who's certainly not going to be constrained by all of these sort of pointy-headed attitudes of the colonials. That's for sure. Don Hickey, if I was standing on one of the hills overlooking Washington, D.C. during the War of 1812, what kinds of things would I see as that war unfolded?
Well, it was pretty much a small American city. In August of 1814, you would have seen nothing but flames, because the British occupied the capital and they burned all the public buildings. It's worth pointing out, however, that they were very respectful of private property, and the civilians who remained in the city, and there weren't all that many, were pretty well treated.
Is that because they expected them to, you know, basically restore their allegiance to the king, that they viewed them as members of the British Empire?
No. The British had no designs on our independence, and it is somewhat misleading to call this a second war of American independence. I don't believe our independence was ever at risk, either from the issues that caused the war or from anything that happened in the war itself.
Talking to Don Hickey, professor of history at Wayne State College in Nebraska, author of The War of 1812, A Forgotten Conflict. Kenneth Davis, you know, this was a defiant conflict that basically ignored Washington's admonition to avoid foreign entanglements when he left office.
It's true, and it was against everything that Jefferson and Madison, who was the president at the time, had stood for until then. Madison did not really want this war. He knew that the country wasn't prepared for it. As you said, we had a 12,000 men army. The Navy was growing but not significant. There was no bank to pay for this. All of these things came after the war and are also important outgrowths of the War of 1812.
Did it also distract America from dealing with the racial divisions and slavery, a question that would be taken up as the country exploded in the Civil War?
I think that was less of an issue than the Native American question. The other part of this war that gets overlooked, especially with respect to Andrew Jackson, is that he fought one of his other great battles during the war. It was called the Battle of Horseshoe Creek. He destroyed the Creek Nation and added to his luster, a very gruesome luster, as the Indian fighter supreme.
Kenneth Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History and the forthcoming Don't Know Much About American Presidents. We also spoke with Don Hickey, professor of history at Wayne State College, author of Rocket's Red Glare, an illustrated history of the War of 1812. Don and Kenneth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.